This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, featuring T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Does Paul's epistle to the Romans teach us anything about the Roman Catholic Church? That is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host, Jim McCarthy, here's T.A. McMahon.
Thanks for joining me on today's program, Jim.
I'm really glad to be with you, Tom.
Jim, I tried to get a hold of you for a while, but I noticed you were off. Where'd you go?
Well, we were visiting friends and relatives in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
We just got back a couple of weeks ago and had a wonderful time there. It's wonderful what the Lord is doing. As never before, people are reading the Scriptures and considering for themselves the claims of Christ in just a fresh way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, how long were you a missionary in Ireland?
We were there for 2 years.
2 years. Sounds kind of, you don't expect somebody to go to Ireland as a missionary. It's usually Africa and South America and so on.
Well, it's true, Tom, that the gospel has been preached in Ireland, in the island of Ireland, for centuries, even going back to Patrick. And people like John Wesley and others preach the gospel there, but it doesn't matter where you are, whether it's the United States or Europe or South America or Africa, every generation needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and consider it for themselves. And so I think every part of the world needs people that will help others understand the teachings of Christ.
Jim, when you were there as a missionary, certainly most people would consider Ireland to be Roman Catholic. Now, what's the state of the Catholic Church there today?
Well, it's true that the majority of people would call themselves Catholics, but, you know, there's an awful lot of people in the Catholic Church, as well as in the Protestant Church, who don't have a personal relationship with Christ, that the essence of what he taught and that relationship with God through what Christ has done on the cross has somewhat been lost, and so you have a lot of often just religious people going to church, but really not having that personal relationship. Secondly, because of the scandals in the Catholic Church over the last 10 years, which have affected Ireland very heavily, has caused a lot of people to become very disenchanted and have given up on religion altogether. They've also had a time of great economic growth. And so I think a lot of people have lost their focus on spiritual things. It used to be known as the island of saints and scholars, but today Ireland is becoming much like the rest of Europe.
Mm-hmm. Jim, would you consider Catholicism in Ireland to be a church state? Would it be a church state religion?
I don't think you could go quite that far, but it's certainly, I know when I was there, it was about 98% of the population claimed to be Catholic, and it's probably today still in the 90s percentile somewhere. And the church is not supported by the state, and there's freedom of religion. So I wouldn't say that, but given the great majority of people being Catholic, it certainly has an influence that goes beyond what you'd see here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Jim, is there anything else that really hit you while you were over there that was different? You know, you started off by talking about, I would assume, the state of the evangelical church there. But what about the Catholic Church? I've heard that the attitudes there were increasingly secular, and even, within the church, they're trying all kinds of things that people might call New Age, for example.
I'm not that familiar. I have not been there for several years, just having visited. But certainly amongst the people, Tom, it's not what it used to be. Some have become agnostic. Some have become kind of New Age in their orientation. There's been a tremendous influx of people from other nations, and so you have mosques being built and other types of temples, Hindu and so on. And, you know, it is affecting the country as a whole, and it's causing people to think much more broadly as to what is acceptable and what is right. And I think unless people go back to the Scriptures and use that as their guide, they're going to think as a man thinks and just assume that all religions are more or less equal, which I don't think stands up to what Christ teaches in the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Jim, two other questions before we get into our study of Romans. Right next door in England, you have an incredible growth with regard to Islam. Do you see any of that in Ireland or anything?
Yes,
that you can
it's
see?
Very interesting to walk down O'Connell Street in Dublin and see people in full Islamic garb covered women and so on. But I think that's just a natural part of people from all around Europe now under the European Union, where there are no borders within Europe. You have just this influx wherever there's jobs. You have people from the other nations coming. And so you see that in Ireland quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Jim, when you mentioned you were encouraged by seeing people with an interest in the Word of God, is it your feeling that that's the way to encourage, as you mentioned, a personal relationship with the Lord, to begin to point people to or have programs in which the Word of God is really Bible studies, and just encourage them to get into that, to look to that for their source of truth?
Yes, I would, Tom. You know, that's how I came to know Christ myself after 12 years of religious instruction and 25 years or 23 years in the Catholic Church. It was through a home Bible study where I began to read the Bible for myself and to think about what Christ was saying, that it all took on a personal life for me and was really life-changing. And I visited several Bible studies and churches in Ireland where this is happening. It's really exciting to see Irish men preaching the Word, men and women gathering together to study God's Word. And there's real kind of an excitement amongst these people. Some of them are seeing this for the first time and experiencing the freedom to do this as never before. So it's also a pretty exciting time in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've just joined us or this is the first time you've listened to the program, title of the program is According to God's Word, and we do try and spend most of our time going through the Scriptures. Presently, we're in Paul's epistle to the Romans, and of all the books in the New Testament, this would be, I would say, a very primary one with regard to the gospel, what it is, really a theological thrust here, so that we can understand what the gospel is in very specific ways. So right now we're in chapter 3, and we're going to pick up with verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, Jim, let's start with that, because he's going to expound upon that, and then we're going to get into chapter 4, where in which many more details are laid out for us. But what about this? Man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law.
Well, I think this goes very well with what we're talking about taking place in Ireland, Tom. You know, a lot of us were raised with the concept that the way we could be made right or just before God was through obedience to the Ten Commandments and to the laws of the church. That by doing certain things, receiving certain sacraments, and living our lives at a very high level of morality, that we would be declared just before God because of our works.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same problem, Tom, that the Jews had. They thought by the obedience to the Old Testament laws that they had achieved a level of righteousness where they could be accepted. And in the Gospels, we find the Lord Jesus helping them to see that that's not true, that none of them were righteous enough. And here Paul picks up the same theme, asking the question, can a man be justified before God by law keeping? And we're coming to his conclusion here, a summary of his conclusion in chapter 3. And he says, we maintain a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. It's not by what we do, but it's through faith and what Christ has done on our behalf. That's how we're made right before God.
Mm-hmm. So we have a standard here, and it's a standard of perfection. If you want to be justified by the law, you have to keep it perfectly because that is God's standard. And Jesus certainly kept the law perfectly, yet we can't do that. It's impossible to do. So the law, it turns out, I mean, it turns out for us if we've just come to this understanding, was presented to demonstrate that we could not live up to God's standard. It brought conviction of sin because we fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Scriptures tell us.
Tom, you know, a lot of people think that the way they're going to get right with God is by living a good life. Others think that they're going to get right with God by living a good life and trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And a third one might be they can get right with God by trusting what Christ has done for them. And this verse kind of shows there's only one of those is right. It's not by the works of the law. It's not by faith plus the works of the law, but it's by faith apart from the works of the law. And I think to a person who's involved in religion, that's a really hard thing to accept, that it's not by what Christ has done for them plus what they're doing themselves, but it's what Christ has done for them apart from anything they can do themselves.
Mm-hmm. Jim, as I think back regarding a number of scriptures, the idea of boasting comes in. The scriptures would not have us to boast. And I find that really interesting because there's a sense, if I could do it or if I could do enough, there's a sense of turning to self or self-satisfaction about these things. But first and foremost, as we've been saying, we can't do it. But we delude ourselves into thinking we can do enough. It's still the self-orientation. We have to just lay it on the line that only Christ could accomplish what needs to be done to satisfy divine justice. And he did.
And that's very humbling, though, isn't it?
It is.
And that's why there's no room for boasting. If you're going to say, even my best efforts are not good enough, and so I'm going to lay aside all that I've done and come empty-handed to the cross and trust what he's done for me, well, then where is boasting? And that's the question that Paul asks in the previous verse in 3:27. Where, then, is boasting? He says it's excluded or it's just thrown out. By what kind of law of works? No, but by a law of faith. Because there's nothing to boast about to say, I believe he died for me. That's just believing the truth. If salvation is through doing or being certain things yourself, well, then there is room for boasting. You know, I did all this stuff. Or I was better than the average person. But if you're saved by just recognizing you're a sinner and Christ died for you and that what he did for you is how you're saved, well, all you can do is boast in what he has done and boast in him and give him glory. There's nothing for us in it.
Right. It also demonstrates God's love. Absolutely incredible that what we could not do, Christ did for us, and this is an act of his love. So on the one hand, yes, we're humbled, but on the other hand, we should be so gratified that God would love us enough to do this for us.
Yes.
Well, let's go on. Who's this for? Verse 29, it says, or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Christ died for all, for everyone. You know, I think about the verse, I believe it's in Luke, where the angels appeared to the shepherds, and it talks about we bring glad tidings, good news, right, to all men, to everyone. This was the arrival of the Messiah, announcing the birth of Christ. So it's for everybody.
It's for everybody. And in the Jews, you have a very religious, kind of righteous people. In the Gentiles, you had people who were basically known for their paganism and sin. And he's saying, no, it's the same way. It doesn't matter. There's not like two ways to God. One today for real sinners like thugs and prostitutes and drug pushers and all that. And another for good, decent religious people. No, there's only one way because we're all sinners. We're all cut from the same piece of cloth. It's only through faith. And, you know, really, this is where Tom, the very religious person, is at a disadvantage because much of religion kind of deludes us into thinking that we're good people. And it's people who are not practicing religion often have no delusions about this. They know they're not good people. And so when they hear the gospel, it's much easier for them to put their faith in Christ and save them.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Jim address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Jim, normally we take some questions from those who listen to the program and write to us. But this time, somebody actually sent me a tract. And the tract is from Catholic Answers. Do you know those people, Jim?
Yes, they're a Catholic apologetic group down in San Diego, started by a man named Carl Keating.
Yeah. Well, they know you because they did a whole tract on on you and a video that you produced. When I introduced the program, I say Jim McCarthy, the producer of Catholicism, Crisis of Faith, and this tract is headlined Anti-Catholicism, and it says Exposing Catholicism, Crisis of Faith. And, Jim, I'd like to ask you some questions about this. I mean, they have it in print out here, and I think it just, you know, I know you don't like to get into these polemics, but...
It's on their internet site as well, Tom. Anybody can download it, the criticism of our video.
All right, well, let me run a few items by you just to get your response.
Okay.
It begins... Well, actually, I'm just going to take excerpts from it. I don't want to read the whole thing. It says, Catholicism, Crisis of Faith is cunningly packaged to look like a Catholic video, and for a good reason. Its producers want to get it into the hands of unsuspecting Catholics. One other item before you comment. There's no hint in the text on the slipcase, that is the cover, the insert that it goes into, that the video is an attack on Catholicism and features interviews with some of the most vicious, sharp-tongued anti-Catholics in America.
Well, all I can say, Tom, is that anybody who thinks that might be true ought to just watch the video and see how many vicious, sharp-tongued people are actually in there. I don't think they'll find any. And
Jim, I have to jump in here.
You do.
You know, yeah, because we have a video that we produced here at the Breen Call, which I'm the executive director, and it's called A Woman Rides the Beast, and it features Dave Hunt. Now, somebody, although it's not true, I can see somebody getting excited over some things that Dave says. But in your video, these are the most wonderful, kindest, gentlest people you could find. I mean, I give it to people to look at because I know they're not going to react to the individuals in an adverse way because they're just so charming. And I mean, they are. They're just nice people.
Well, I fully agree. And that's why I just say to people who think the Catholic Answers is being fair there, just watch the video. Make your own decision.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find anybody who's vicious in there, send me a note, and we'll take another look at it. We'll take them out because mm-hmm. we think that would be a very poor thing to do.
Yeah. Did you try and come up with a cunningly devised package for this?
Well, I don't know. You know, I guess, again, people have to judge for themselves, but I'll tell you what's on the cover, Tom. It's a picture of the hands of a priest lifting up a host mm-hmm. and a chalice. And it's in the motif of a stained glass window. And the window's cracked and a piece is missing out of it. And the place where it's missing, the video is called Catholicism, Crisis of Faith. It's got the wording there in the broken window. So I think that that's communicating, at least to me, that this is about Catholicism and that there's something wrong, that it's a shattered image.
Right.
And on the back it talks about how Catholics for the first time are beginning to question and look into the scriptures, and it's not an anti-Catholic video, so we wouldn't put that on our materials because we are not against the Catholic people. What we're against, Tom, is Catholic doctrine. We really think it is wrong, that it's unbiblical, and rather than get into assassinating people's character and belittling people, we try to avoid that completely in our ministry and talk about doctrine. And that's what the video is about. And so I think the cover represents that very well.
Mm-hmm. And the people that you have in it, they went through. These, in many cases, were nuns, priests, and they went through what you could call a crisis of faith. They had some doctrinal issues with the church that they had committed their lives to, and this caused a change in their views and a change in, really, their lives.
Well, actually, you know, that phrase, crisis of faith, came out of Catholic literature,
mm-hmm.
and I subscribe to a number of Catholic periodicals, and just today, Tom, I opened up a big Catholic magazine, and it said, Catholicism, Crisis of Faith. Had nothing to do with our video.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking about how many Catholics today, because of all the scandals and all the things going on, are having a crisis of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's just a very common expression that brings out that these are very troubling times for the Roman Catholic Church, mm-hmm. and I don't see anything vindictive or harsh about it. It's just mm-hmm. a reality.
Yeah. Jim, in the tract here, it talks about Father Richard Chilson, who is the priest who, you could say, represented at least. He is a priest and a practicing priest, and he did seem to represent Catholic views on many issues, or on some issues that you talked about. But he becomes a person of controversy because he believed he was duped into all of this.
Well, I've read that criticism that he did it without permission and all these things. But, you know, it's very interesting, Tom, that the founder of and president of Catholic Answers, Carl Keating, is a lawyer. And when the video came out in 1991, he phoned me, I guess before he wrote that criticism, and asked, did we have permission from Richard Chilson to interview him? And I told him we did. Not only that, we had a signed release. And we also have sent him an honorarium afterwards, and we have the canceled check. We have him on videotape, agreeing to give it. We have him sitting there for 40 minutes being interviewed. How you can do all those things without a person's permission is beyond me. And I would have thought before a lawyer would put those kind of criticisms in print, he would say, well, could you fax me the release form that Richard Chilson signed and some very simple things if you wanted to establish the truth. But I don't think that's necessarily what's happening here.
You know, in the tract we have in, well, the tract says no theatrical release was given to him to sign, but some months later he received a check for $125. And then it has in parentheses, McCarthy claims that all interviewees signed releases.
Oh, and he just asked me to fax him those releases so
right.
He could see them. You know, that could have been done. You know what I would really like, Tom, is for a neutral ministry to come and I'll show them all the materials and they can write their own criticism. And if we're wrong, they can have at us. But I think they're going to find that every criticism in there, Tom, is bogus.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you another couple of quotes. We've got about 2 minutes left. It says, Chilson notes Riley that in the interview, as much time was spent on salvation as on the Eucharist. But, quote, none of that was used because I gave them the gospel answer of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then a little bit later, the comment is, there was a very good reason why McCarthy did not want to show Chilson expounding on salvation by grace alone through Christ alone. And then it's referring to the interviews that follow of the Catholics coming out of St. Patrick's Cathedral. But listen to this, Jim. It says, the goal was to make the Catholic Church look silly and to feature only Catholics who had confused or insufficient understanding of the Church's teaching on salvation. The inference drawn is that all Catholics believe the things these folks were saying. Now, Jim, one of the points, again, I have just 30 seconds here, but one of the points that I find interesting is that we want the Catholic line. We want people to explain exactly what Roman Catholicism teaches because there is such a difference between what the Bible teaches that that's what we're trying to get at, not make people look silly.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, Tom. There's no point getting a Catholic priest or having a Catholic priest or Catholic person saying this is what we believe if that doesn't reflect official Catholic doctrine. Because then it becomes just personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very careful that when somebody said something, that we knew it for a fact to be official doctrine. And I think no one has ever, in the over 10 years the video's been out, shown us where there's a place where anything that is said is contrary to official Catholic doctrine as found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I hope people do watch it and make their own opinions on this because I think that track is very biased.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708, or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 3403. and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.